Horla Leon Chluin Fion an Daralod of Ifiara, Nidig Feheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheh de chuid na saidúrí cúnta. Is éir is colún ratha ann, ná éanad beag míleta neamh splach atá an gluiseach tapa agus airm éadrama ó úmpar de ghná, agus bhuina éir é úsáid for lehanasta seo le linn chogan na saoirse. Is faoi cheannas cheáin fi gáin a bhí choún ratha chuig Longford. Éanad par míleta vís na saidúrí cúnta a chuir le constáblacht riagan na héan ar raibh ír ifigéag na Breatana ar bhas am ratan mhór a bharharacha agus a fhid sa chiad chogadánda. Bhí beag na 2,300 buil san éanad le linn na cuimhlinte agus be an róla bhí acá ná éirí amach i gcuine an IRA. Míonn Maeve Brady, inníon Tom Brady, báil de choún ratha an Longford thuaig, tuile.
My father, Tom Brady, was just 20 years old when he joined the North Longford Flying Column in November 1920. He was one of the 21 men who took part in the Clonfane ambush. Most of the men had a rural background. Many knew one another. In fact, several sets of them were related. So it can be said of them they were connected by blood, landscape and national passion. Three of the men had been in the British Army and had useful knowledge of engaging in conflict. An ambush was planned for some time. On the 2nd of February 1921, the site chosen was here at Clonfane. When they gathered together on that morning, each one knew where they were posted, who was in command of the post, what they had to do, though no instruction was given on withdrawal. They also knew that the British forces would travel that route either on their way outward or return journey to Longford. It was a cold, bleak day and their wait was about 8 to 9 hours. Two tenders came along at about 3 o'clock. They were dragging a tricolour they had earlier confiscated and were singing merrily. As the first tender came down the slope, just at the bridge, the bomb exploded with great precision. The first tender went up into the air and tossed its occupants out. The military were quick to get into action with several rounds of a Lewis gun. The first casualty was the auxiliary with the Lewis gun, who was knocked out immediately, as were the second and third man who manned it. Francis Worthington Craven, OC, walked up and down the road, directing his men as heavy fighting ensued for about a half an hour. Francis Worthington Craven was injured, and after raising the white flag and in his dying moments, he asked to see Sean McGeown. They had a forthright, brief discussion, and Craven requested from McGeown that his men be looked after. Thereafter, McGeown's words to his comrades were, "It has been a fair fight. No further injury is to be inflicted." He allowed the auxiliaries to tend their wounded and used the second tender to take their dead and injured back into Longford barracks. In all, 4 British died: Francis Worthington Craven, John Houghton at the site, George Bush within an hour of being brought into Longford Infirmary, and Harold Clayton died 2 days later in Stephen's Hospital, Dublin. In the meantime, one of the Oxys had fled over the hill, hijacked a vehicle and got into Ballinalee, from whence reinforcements came quickly. The main body of the North Longford Flying Column had fled northwards, leaving 3 of their men on the road. As they took to their heels, a dangerous situation evolved, with the English forces between those already safe and the last 3. Another sharp engagement took place, and my father, Tom Brady, got a superficial wound. It was the only injury incurred, and he was able to proceed to safety. The column gathered as much ammunition as they could, all of them carrying a portion of it over the bog. Sean Sexton carrying the Lewis gun, which was very heavy, and he had to drop it into a bog hole for safety to be retrieved later when all was safe. The column gathered in Bracken Woods, did a roll call and dispersed. The next day, February the 3rd, the English forces came round again. One sad fatality was that of an elderly man, Michael Farrell, who was out in his yard. Not hearing the order to halt, He was shot dead on his own premises. Paddy Finnegan from Columbkill had dropped his revolver with his name on it. They tracked down and burned his home. His parents are said never to have gotten over that tragedy.
Tréise chaha adag an lí ag lúan yun mar a dinis meivarís, cuireg na dhíne bhí gortathe ar aske bali Longford chun cúrmi an varhu, agus cuir cúr áil réinach dúil bhí góin mwíl ar amacht an IRA agus biognach gáv locht na bretana iad agus iad ag éilú trasna chuil chlúan yunáin. Gáv an IRA hartar 8 rifle díag, fithe gnán Gunny Lewis agus na Kéta Armlóin. Ar nótas tá rúil ar le eile, Beidr gymach sim ag léhóri The Last of the Mohicans, fes a bheith acu, gur bé an Lieutenant Colonel George Munro is fear a chuinnítar ar san uairscéal mar gheall ar a chosint nár éirigh leis ar Fort William Henry le linn chogan na Franca agus na Hindia i 1657, agus a únsaí an sin ag na Hindia gúchais, i nár íre a rug an sá ag glúan iún. D'éirigh leis hacht slán ón sléacht, ach bhásaigh sé go tobann in Albany, 3 in a yeg shin. Lanart, gushroid valia vela hana lay, and kiet stop ille.